such a beautiful song, one of the most beautiful songs we ever sing here. My favorite line of that is in verse 2 when it says that our sins were nailed to the cross and I bear them no more. Incredible. Good morning, church. It's great to be with you this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want to extend a very special welcome to you and to let you know that if you came on any other Sunday, you'd see somebody different up here. It is my privilege, on behalf of the elders, to recap 2019 with you and to look forward to what is now, we can say, this year of 2020. Hard to imagine. It seemed like it was just yesterday we were worried about the computers all failing and the world coming to an end when we turned from 1999 to 2000. And here we are 20 years later. It's amazing. It has been a remarkable year for us. A lot has happened that we're going to talk about. We're very excited to discuss what the Lord has planned for us and what we've laid out as a plan for the Azalea City Church of Christ in 2020. Again, I do so on behalf of four other incredible men who serve you with compassion, with love, and standing on the truth. And we have committed that that will never change as long as we serve in that capacity. You know, talking about 2019, make sure I do this right. I'm not used to flicking these things. We were blessed, weren't we? In a lot of ways. We added to our number here in several different ways through some births. Terry loves that. He loves when the babies come and he gets to stand up here and display them in their first time coming to be with us. We had some folks put on their Lord in baptism this year, became members of the body of Christ. Some folks placed memberships with us, and then there are those that were touched in their hearts some way, somehow, maybe by your influence. And we're restored to their faith. No matter the circumstances, what happens is in our elders' conference room, we have a whiteboard. And any time that we have someone that has obeyed the gospel or someone that has placed membership or someone that has been restored that was erring, we put them on the board. And it's great for us to see that board fill up year by year. We're hoping for the day when we're going to need a second board to keep track of all the great things that are happening in the name of God. Financially, we did pretty well in 2019. We met and exceeded our budget. The budget that we stood in front of you last year at this time and said that it was going to be a challenging budget for us. But that the men in that room that put together that budget, they all committed to make the necessary improvements or enhancements or increases in their giving to help us meet the budget. We exceeded the budget by almost $30,000 in 2019. Our economy is better. We're blessed. And your commitment has obviously been shown in our giving. I'm very proud of our community outreach in 2019. That's one of the big things that we know that we want to focus on and improve on in 2020. But we did a lot of good things for the Lord in this community. When you add up the number of bags of groceries that were given out to our food distribution, it's well over 2,000 bags of groceries that went out to families in need. That's a great thing to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Also, our children's offering was very instrumental in helping children in need at J.E. Turner. We also provided hurricane relief and other great things that have been done. Certainly, as we move forward into this year, 2020, we want to expand our footprint in the community. You see, someone recently wrote on social media that if a church is not expanding into the community, if a church is not reaching out into the community, then we're no more than a country club. And that's not who the Azalea City Church of Christ is. We're God's people. And we're going to demonstrate the way of Christ and His love to our community more and more in this coming up year. We had a good theme last year, didn't we? Renew. Terry did an amazing job presenting many, many lessons from every possible angle on how do we get renewed. How do we become renewed in Christ? How do we continue to grow? How we have opportunities to be renewed in our commitment, renewed in our service, and in our love for the Lord. Terry, thank you for the great work that you did. The amount of time that he spent preparing, the way that he boldly proclaimed the gospel, and the need that you and I each have to look within ourselves, to look at that man or woman in the mirror, and if renewal is necessary, and in most of our cases, it is needed in one way or another, that we could make that renewal. Incredible. Thank you again, Terry. We had some challenges, didn't we, in 2019? We often say that our loss is heaven's gain. There were a lot of heaven's gains that we experienced in 2019. Some folks that we love and adored who've gone on to their reward. And as David mentioned in his class this morning, it's kind of the cycle of life. There are folks that are gonna go too soon. There are folks that are going to live a full and complete life, and then they're going to move on to their reward. But the cycle of life is that we also have these babies. But I think in some ways we're still hurting from the recent losses that we've had. So that presents a challenge to us. We also had a challenge regarding our Sunday school attendance. You remember that on behalf of the elders that we presented a challenge that we wanted to increase our Sunday school attendance by 20% from the 2018 average to what we averaged in 2019. Now, the good news is that we did increase our Sunday school attendance. We did. The not so good news, if I'm being honest, the challenge that we faced is that we made about a 4.5% to 5% increase in that attendance, not 20. That's something that we need to focus on. That's something that we need to pay attention to. You see, well, let me hold on to that nugget for a minute. In 2019, we had as large of a sick list as I can ever remember. That was a challenge for us. There were folks that dealt with some devastating diseases. Some folks had prolonged illnesses. And not only was it an effect on them, but those that, of us that had to care for them. And that has an impact on the church. That has an impact on our attendance. That has an impact on our ability to serve and to be there and be consistent and to be faithful in our work. So we did face some challenges in 2019. We also, as a side note, not in my notes in here, but it really dawned on me that not only were we faced with the challenges that being on the sick list, but also it provided some incredible examples of godliness and faithfulness regardless of their illness. And that should only inspire us and encourage us as we move forward. So, don't know what just happened there. But what it says up there is overall, we had a pretty good year. We had a really good year, honestly. The Lord blessed us in so many ways. So on behalf of the eldership, I want to say thank you. And I just don't want to leave it with thank you because there are a few thank yous that need to be addressed today. First of all, I want to extend a thank you to the four other men that I serve with. You know our situations. Each of us as elders has either dealt with serious illnesses ourselves or dealt with very serious illnesses within our immediate families.
and the encouragement and the brotherhood and the camaraderie and the support and encouragement that exists within that eldership is indescribable. It's amazing. And so I thank these men for that. But I also want to thank Betsy and Tanya and Glenda, Denise, and my Samantha. There's just too many times when they know that there's something going on with us. There's something that we're having to deal with, but they know that we just can't talk about it. And there's no way that we could do the work that God has called us to do without their love and support. In our discouragement, they become our encouragement. And I would say that equally as much, this church is served by these five women in a remarkable way. So thank you, ladies. We do have the greatest ministry team, I believe, that you could assemble. I believe it. Our guy stands up here every Sunday and just opens his heart as real as he knows how. He does so boldly. He's not afraid to say what needs to be said because he's God's man. These aren't his words. He didn't write these books. He's just declaring them as God's truths. But I also want to thank Michelle. The grace and the godliness that she exhibits living in the glass house, which is the preacher's house. It takes a special person to do that. We're in a culture that we're working really hard to change, where everybody calls the preacher first for everything that they need, regardless of the holiday, regardless of the time, regardless of the day or the day off. And that's a sacrifice, but one that this family is willing to make. So thank you. We have a guy that works with our young people that, you know, that job has gotten a lot of unnecessary criticism over the years. Folks think it's just the easiest thing in the world to run the Six Flags, teach a couple classes, and that's really all there is to it. That could not be further from the truth. And Ashley got her babies. They're trying to raise their babies. And she's willing to sacrifice a lot of time so that her husband can go spend time with other people's kids. And you know, we have this idea of how youth ministry should be. And the preacher has stood here many times and said that our youth minister is not responsible for raising your children. But Terry and Michelle, Samantha and I have been there. And we know that sometimes those lines get blurred. And it is an extreme sacrifice. Ashley, thank you for that sacrifice. Heather, I want to thank you for allowing Jason to work with an age group of our people that the Lord's church has historically forgotten about. This is the age group where we figure once they've graduated and kind of moved on to college and onward that they've got this. And that's the reason why historically that age group has become the most unfaithful age group. But not here. Not here. We have a ministry team that is dedicated to the lives and the souls of its members. And church, if we don't realize it already, we are very blessed. So thank you all. Our secretaries, Glenda and Robin. They are the glue that holds us logistically together from between the times that we come together, and so many things that you just don't know that they go through, they put up with, and they deal with. We couldn't do it without you. So we thank you. And to everyone else, all the parts and pieces that make up this amazing place, our teachers, our deacons, our ministry leaders, those that make the communion, those that clean the floors, those that prepare the meals, everybody plays an integral part in what we do. And our 2019 would not have been successful without you. You have made and continue to make this the most loving place you can come to. Brother Melvin recently said that in one of our Bible classes, that it's just remarkable how loving this place is. And it's true. So thank you. Thank you all. So now we're in 2020 and we have a new budget, we have a new theme, we have new plans, we have new opportunities. And each of us has to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, what are we going to do with what God has laid out in front of us? The opportunities that are there for each of us. In 2020, we have a new budget. And if you look at the numbers there, you'll see that the 2019 budget was almost $567,000. And we exceeded that budget by $30,000. Our new budget for 2020 is $593,000 and some change, which means our weekly need is $11,411, up from $10,900. Calculating that, we're looking at about a 4.5% increase. You want to know something? That's one of the smaller increases that we've made from year to year over the past couple of years. But even so, this is an aggressive faith-based budget. So what can we do? What can we do to ensure that at the end of 2020, when one of us stands up here and talks about 2021, that we can say we've been successful financially? Well, we just need to obey the commands of God. We need to pray about. We're in 2020 already, so hopefully that's already history for you. But we need to consider and we need to set aside, what is our giving going to be as God has prospered us? Thinking about the remarkable destiny, forever, eternal changing opportunities that happen because of the way that we use those monies. It's aggressive. But I think anything that we do in God's name needs to be aggressive and faith-based. Wouldn't you? So when we thought about a theme for 2020, we had to ask ourselves some questions. We have to do this every year, right? We got to come up with a catchy thing every year that we can use. And it's got to be, you know, kind of a seed for Terry as he develops, 51 or two sermons for it. We ask ourselves these questions. What's most relevant and most pressing need that we have here at Isaiah City? And what theme could narrow our mindset, our actions, and our attention? What is it? What theme could channel our energies and service most appropriately? And lastly, what theme could help us to glorify God best in 2020? When you ask yourselves all those questions, we came up with that. You may not be able to stare at it very long. It's focus. I've seen on social media a lot of congregations are using that 2020 vision. That's pretty catchy. But I think having a vision in 2020 is only a small part of what our focus is. And so, in essence, what we're doing in 2020 is we want to take it back to the basics. There's some basic principles of God that we need to readdress, we need to relearn, that we need to make sure that are firmly planted in our hearts and minds. We need to make sure that our focus is where it needs to be at all times. This is why that our scripture for today is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. If you and I are focused, brethren, to seek God first in all that we do, all the rest of this that we've just reviewed, it's going to take care of itself. God's proven that to us over and over and over again. In our last elders meeting, and I think Terry mentioned this on Thursday, was that one of our elders said that there were three things we need to pay a lot of attention to in 2020. Attendance. We all recognize that church attendance is not the determiner of someone's faithfulness, and yet not even someone's salvation. But it speaks volumes to the heart of the Christian. Now, I found something the other day that I thought was worth spending a moment or two reading to you. Some of you probably just saw it a day or so online. Why I gather with my local church. Anybody see that? Pretty cool. Why I gather with my local church. Please, if you missed all the budget stuff and all the thank yous, please listen to this. I'm trying to do this without glasses today. We'll see how that works. Why I gather with my local church. In a culture that minimizes commitment and maximizes self-indulgence, I believe involvement in the local church is a precious gift. I seek to gather with my church publicly and from house to house. I do not see this commitment as a burden or a legalistic commitment. I view it as joy. The local church is where I can give and serve, a place where I can focus on God's mission and other people rather than myself. Here are the 10 reasons, among others, for why I gather with my local church. Number one, I gather with the church to serve others. There is more of a noble joy in serving than seeking to be served. Wouldn't you agree with that? I have many opportunities to serve when the church is gathered. Those opportunities are my gifts from God. Number two, I gather with the church to encourage others. We live in a world of incredible digital communication, but there's still something irreplaceable about gathering together. When I encounter someone in person in church, I have an opportunity to encourage him or her in person. Number three, I gather with the church to follow my leaders. I doubt many of us know how much our leaders serve us and love us 7 days a week. The least I can do for my leaders is to be there in person when we gather as a church. I know it encourages them, and that is a true statement. Number four, I gather with the church to state my priorities. If I'm able to go to work, if I'm able to go to school, to go on vacation, or to watch or be involved in a sport, I can attend church. I desire to have a no excuse clause in my life for attending church. A no excuse clause. Number five, I gather with the church to encounter God in worship. There is something special and spirit-filled about worshiping together with other Christians. It is both an opportunity and a gift that I do not take lightly. Number six, I gather with the church even if it doesn't meet all my needs. Pay attention here. If I say I'm not getting fed spiritually, it likely means I am not hungry spiritually. If my church does some things a bit differently than my preferences, I realize that I am there not as a consumer. Catch that word? Not as a consumer, but as a giver. And as one who has been called to put others' needs ahead of my own. No church is perfect. No preacher is perfect. Neither am I. Number 7. I gather with the church frequently, not on occasion. It is my prayer to be in my church every Sunday. When I am out of town, I find another church to attend. I pray I will never say, I need a break from church. I certainly don't want God to take a break from me. Woo! That one crawled up my spine. Number 8. I gather with the church to set an example for my family. Is that in the book? Couples have healthier marriages when they attend church together. Children grow up with countless spiritual benefits because their parents took them to church. I want to set an example on the importance and priority of church attendance for those that I love. Number 9. I gather with the church because the Bible tells me to do so. 2/3 of the New Testament is written to churches and church leaders about church. There are hundreds of scriptures that I can only follow by engaging with the church. The words of Hebrews in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 are powerful. And let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and more as we see that day coming. Number 10, I gather with the church because I'm committed to my church. I'm going to say that sentence again, because I think we can't really say it unless we mean it. I gather with the church because I'm committed to my church. I love my church. I love my leadership. I love the members of my church. I love the community my church serves. If I love someone, I will be there for them. I truly love my church. The man that wrote this article ends it with this paragraph. It's become increasingly popular for some to argue that church attendance is not a high priority because the building is not the church. The people are. But those people are supposed to gather. Indeed, they are commanded to gather. I gather with my church for these reasons and many more. That thought I kind of paused on a few minutes ago is this. The devil's good at what he does, church. And he's selling us a lie that many people are buying into. He's selling us a lie and telling us that it's not as important for us to be here for Sunday school as it is for us to be here at worship. Let me back up and say he's selling us a lie and telling us that it's not important to be here every time the doors are open when we come together as Christians to worship God. It's a lie. It's the devil's lie. And church, we got to understand our enemy. He's selling us a lie and telling us that Wednesday night is kind of an optional thing just in case I need refueling. It's a lie. I don't know what the number is we have here today, maybe 250, 260. But Wednesday night, we need 260 people. We need to run out of food. The reality of it is, church, can I borrow, Terry, what you say all the time? I love you enough to tell you the truth. You have to ask yourself, are you buying what the devil's selling? 260 is not enough people here on Sunday morning, is it? Each of us could look left and right, and we're going to see people who should be here who are not. Not because they're sick, not because they're working, not because they're out of town. It's because they're buying the lie. And we love them, don't we? Or do we? We love them, right? Let's focus. Let's focus in 2020 on being here, on encouraging those that aren't here. And folks, let's focus on not a special day when we try to have more than 400 people here, where we have that one time a year benevolence push not benevolence, evangelism push. That's not how God prescribed it in Scripture, is it? We're all ministers. We're all evangelists. We're all called to share our faith, not just on a special Sunday, but always. We need to be focused on the lost. The erring and those people that don't know Christ. Focused. When we narrow our energy, when we narrow our focus, God has proven to you and I time and time and time again how He will bless us, hasn't He? Not enough amens on that one. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says that I need to set my mind on things above and not things on the earth. That means I'm focused on heaven. I'm focused on the reality of serving God each and every day. And I'm going to do those things that are in the best interest of Him and His church. Paul wrote that to the church in Colossae and also to the church in Sims. Not a suggestion. That was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse says, and 3 and verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. If you're trying to figure out what to do and how to do it, all you got to do is focus on Him. Scripture says He'll guide your path. He'll light your way. Your steps will become clear if you're focused on Him. The verse before that, verse 5 in chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. We've often spoken of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The writer there says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's something we've got to focus on, right? We've got to focus on that. Holy and acceptable. Not our way, His way. Which is your reasonable service. What God is asking of us, what God has commanded us to do, is reasonable. Considering all that He's done for us. He's bought us back. We've been reconciled. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ. It's reasonable for us to serve God and to focus on that. He goes on to say that one of the ways we do that is not being conformed to the world. Sister Lorraine in class said this morning that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We have to be transformed by the, hey, I love this word. Listen to it for a whole year. The renewing of our minds so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's, folks, we need to focus on that. Back in Colossians 3 and verse 16, Paul says there, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I cannot do that if I am not here. I am glad that we have live stream. It is a great tool for those that are homesick, those that can't be here for whatever reason, legitimate reason. But everyone that I've ever talked to, who has used that consistently because of those circumstances, all say this, it's not the same. And it will never replace being with God's people. Men, heads of the household, we need it clearly understood in our families that this is where we are on the Lord's Day. We don't let the same kind of headache that'll keep us going to work from keep us from going to church. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says to be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. Right? Another version says study. We've got to be students of God's Word. A worker that needs not to be ashamed. Are you ashamed right now? As it pertains to your knowledge of God's Word. Your familiarity with the Scriptures. How to go and to find and to study and to meditate and 2020 is the year to focus on being a great student of God's Word. We're well versed in whatever that we come to be an expert in, right? We've studied and we understand. And some of us, you know, some folks, not me, but some folks in their career fields have had to have, you know, an extensive amount of training to become subject matter experts in the field in which they work in every day. You and I, most of us have been exposed to the Word of God for the vast majority of our lives. We, above all people, need to know what it says and how to use it for the sword it's intended to be. You know, again, I'll say again that we do recognize that harping on attendance is just a spoke in the wheel. It's just a piece of the puzzle. We're going to give you an assignment. We're going to give you an encouragement, a charge, a task to be here every time. Don't come if you got the flu. I don't want it. Otherwise, be here. Be here. Or be ready to explain a reason why not. You see, one of the things that the elders want to focus on in 2020, your soul. Your soul, not power bills and paint colors and you. We are accountable, but that's really not the drive. That's not the push. It's your souls and the souls of your families. It's our charge from God. It is our responsibility. And we are focused. You'll notice it because we love you. Church, what we really hope for, and this is not just on behalf of the elders, but for our entire ministry team, our hope is that in getting back to the basics, that we can reset the foundations that we've all known, recommit to those guiding principles that we have said we have lived by, but in some cases we've allowed them to kind of slip and to wane and to take a back seat. We want to stop believing the lie, don't we? We're going to acknowledge our enemy, and in 2020, our enemy is going to take a beating. You hear me? As long as there's breath in our lungs, this team of leadership at Isaiah City is going to help us ensure that the devil takes a massive beating this year to the glory of God. He deserves nothing less. We certainly want to encourage you to reach out with any questions you have about our theme, about our budget, whatever it may be. But folks, what we really want is you to be motivated and excited about what God has in store for us this year. You know, when we set goals that are so high that we just have no chance of achieving them without God, that we've done the right thing. We've done the right thing. As we rely on Him more and lean on Him, He's going to step up like He always has. What's our focus? Right now, I hope that if you are a child of God, or if you're not a child of God, that your focus is to be part of the kingdom. Right? To repent of your sins and to confess Jesus as the Son of God so that you can be taken and have all of your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. I hope that's your focus this morning. If you are a Christian, and maybe like many of us, we have had some type of misstep with our focus. We've let our focus get the best of us. We hope that you'll want to rededicate your life and narrow your focus as God would have it to be. Church, I love you very much. The way that you have encouraged and lifted me up this past year, I could never thank you enough. Personally, you have been a rock for me. And I'll never forget it. And I want to do the same for you. The Lord loves you. He's given everything for you. All He expects of us now is to focus on Him and on the prize of heaven. If you have any need, please come right now as together we stand and sing.